I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge day of Premiership action. Celtic are looking to stretch their lead at the top when they welcome Hibs, although Aberdeen will be looking to keep up when they host St Johnstone. Motherwell are starting to struggle and they go to St Mirren. And speaking of strugglers, Killie are on the road to Tannadice. Hearts against Dundee, the final Saturday offering, and then over to Dingwall tomorrow to see what Rangers can produce. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this afternoon you have Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
I would call this the day of reckoning for a lot of clubs in the Premiership. Kilmarnock at Dundee United, having lost 6 goals to Rangers on Wednesday night, and they're in free fall and they're in trouble. Speaking of which, Motherwell at St Mirren, having lost 4 goals midweek to Dundee, they are also in trouble. Likewise, Aberdeen against St Johnstone, 2 points from the last 12 for Jimmy Tilleen. Has the Pittodrie bubble burst? We'll find out this afternoon. And Hearts, bottom of the league, take on Dundee, 9 points above them. It'll be a tense afternoon at Tynecastle. And the big game, Celtic against Hibs. Hibs, second bottom of the league. Celtic's job to make sure that the work they did at Pittodrie in midweek, and it was some work on a terrible night, they have to make sure that's not in vain when they have the chance to go 14 points ahead of Rangers.
Yeah, 5 good games in the top flight this afternoon and many more across the divisions. But Hugh's right in pointing out important ones at that for some sides today. Motherwell, of course, away at St Mirren, that's a huge one. Interesting to see how Aberdeen bounce back, because this is a testing period for Jimmy Thielen's side. They could do with a victory to get back in the coattails of Celtic. And for Celtic at home, Hibs, you'd expect that to be a Celtic win, but you just never know when it gets to this period when games are coming around thick and fast.
Like the guys, I'm looking forward to it. I know the weather's not particularly great outside, but hopefully the football will warm everybody up and give us some entertainment. Plenty of goals, and there's some cracking fixtures all the way down the card.
Yes, plenty to look forward to. You can stay in touch throughout the afternoon on at Clyde SSB on Twitter. And of course, you know what it means after full time. We switch on the phones and get you to give us your live reaction to whatever you have witnessed today, or indeed looking ahead to tomorrow. Just a quick fitness test before we kick off. Cash for Kids lunch yesterday. Ooh. You're all here in body, certainly.
Well, yeah. I can only speak for myself. I did pass a late fitness test this morning at 11 o'clock.
But he was here yesterday.
I'm certainly here. I had an early night, not like these guys to the right to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to confess, there was the use of a Glaswegian word first thing this morning, and the word was, oh yeah.
I'm all right. I'm a professional at this. Exactly. I've done this many times.
Listen, there are a couple of telltale signs early on. It's 6 minutes past 2 and you're sitting already, whilst the rest of us are standing. Don't think you're off the hook. I know you ordered a double espresso on your way in here because I went into the same shop. And as for you,
did she grass me up with a double espresso?
I'll leave your bit out of this anyway. Yeah. Let's hope they make it between now and 6 o'clock. You can keep us company. Let's go round the grounds, because you're spoiled rotten on this Saturday afternoon. Our weather correspondent, as he does every week, has alluded to it. It's miserable. Get the door shut. Get the feet up, listen to us, and see what Scottish football has on offer for you, starting at Celtic Park, where Hibs are the visitors and Andrew McLean is watching on.
Yeah, we're used to seeing Celtic as this sort of free-flowing machine this season, aren't we? Didn't quite look that way midweek. They had to show different qualities to get that 1-0 win over Aberdeen at Pittodrie to send them 7 points clear at the top of the table. Their biggest concern at the moment, and I mean that in a good way, is who plays. Brendan Rodgers has the luxury of being able to rotate, bring in different players, rest others when they've got such a busy schedule. and whatever he does, he still has plenty of quality on the pitch and on the bench. He's done the same again today ahead of another busy week. They're, of course, playing against Dinamo Zagreb and a cup final to look forward to as well. Five changes for this one. Carter Vickers, Vai, Hatate, Bernardo and Kyogo drop out. In come Scales, Taylor, Engels, McCowan and Ida. So it's Casper Schmeichel in goal, Alistair Johnson, Austin Trusty, Liam Scales, Greg Taylor, the back four, the midfield three, Callum McGregor, Arna Engels and Luke McCowan, Nicholas Kuhn and Dyson Maeda either side of Adam Ida. The substitutes, Sinisalo, Kyogo, Vai, Yang, Carter Vickers, Bernardo, Hatate, Forrest and Ralston. As for the visitors, Hibs, they ended that run of nine games without a win in some style last weekend. Can that 3-0 win over Motherwell prove to be a turning point for these players and for David Gray as well? They've got six goals in their last two matches, one place and 2 points now above bottom placed Hearts. A huge ask for them today, though, at Celtic Park. Two changes for them, Chris Cadden and Junior Hoylett dropping out. In come Obita and Miller. So it's going to be Jordan Smith in goal. The back three, Warren Ohora, Rocky Bashiri and Jack Iredale. Lewis Miller and Jordan Obita, the two wing-backs. Nectar Triantis and Joe Newell in midfield. And it will be Nicky Cadden in behind Eli Yuan and Mikola Kuharevich. The substitutes, Bursic, Levitt, Doyle Hayes, Boyle, Cadden, Chris Cadden, that is, Mariah Welsh, Hoylett, Campbell and Gale.
Well, there you are, Mark Wilson. We know the Celtic narrative just now is all about squad depth and rotation and who plays and who doesn't and what games are more important than others, all that sort of stuff. What did you make of this selection today?
Well, expected that. I was listening to a story there. Look, Engels back in. McCown did well last week, didn't he? So I think he deserves his shot. Scales in a nod to midweek, you'd have to say. But those guys that have come in did so well last week. So Brendan Rodgers is in a great position just now because he's got guys on the bench, or guys probably not even stripped, that are pushing his starting 11 all the way. So you wouldn't expect anything other than a Celtic win with that starting 11.
Well, I'm glad to see Greg Taylor getting his place, because his involvement in Celtic's goal at Pittodrie was terrific. The way he picked out Rio Hatate. Ida, I think, is the man for a day like this. And either side of him, Kuhn and Maeda, and of course Luke McCowan, the fans' favourite, the undoubted poster boy for the Celtic supporters. If you listen to our programme Monday to Friday, he has a huge groundswell of support, so he has to make the most of his start today. As I say, in this part of the world, I know that Aberdeen are there and are second, but in this part of the world, it's all about the difference between Celtic and Rangers, especially when they are days away from meeting each other in a cup final. And Celtic's priority today is to win, go 14 points ahead of Rangers, and see what pressure, if any, it puts on Philippe Clement and his players in the Highlands tomorrow.
The Luke McCowan situation is so interesting, Gordon. Mm. Every time he plays, not only does he not put a foot wrong, he contributes so positively. This time last week, we're talking about him being in the team. He scores, he sets up a couple, and everybody of a Celtic persuasion and neutrals to an extent as well, talking about just how good he is. Oh, but he won't start the Champions League game, or he won't start the cup final. No. It's such a weird ceiling he seems to have there because of the depth and the options that Celtic have.
It's just the quality that Celtic have in their disposal in the middle of the park. I heard Brendan Rodgers talking today, Gordon, in the way in, saying, look, you concentrate in the game ahead, but you always have one eye in the other games. And he's got a big week coming up, obviously Champions League midweek, and then the cup final against Rangers. He's rotated the squad, but every time he makes changes, you never look at this Celtic lineup and think, oh, he's weakened it. You know, they've just got some terrific players, and then obviously if things aren't going well, he's got players that can come off the bench and turn games around for him. But I expect him to not be easy, but I expect him to win comfortably today.
It would be, you know, ridiculous to have put in the effort that Celtic put in a storm at Pittodrie on Wednesday night and drop points at home to a team who are second bottom of the league. But that side today, chosen to start the match, that Celtic side could play on any Saturday, Sunday, midweek night, any time you like, and you wouldn't think that's a weakened side.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, last week was a sort of similar fixture, if you like. It's a home game against a team that isn't having a particularly brilliant season, so these tend to be the types of games that you would see more changes. But is it fairly clear that Brendan Rodgers has the size of this week,
yeah,
in mind when you look at what's to come in Zagreb and of course at Hampden?
I think so, and I think the effort that's taken out of the players midweek as well, because it was a hard shift for those players in those conditions. But I think you're right, I think he's looking ahead to Zagreb and obviously next Sunday's final. And if you're not going to utilise your squad now in December, when are you going to utilise it? But last week worked perfectly well. I think it's important how you start the game though, and Celtic got that spot on last week with all those changes. McCown was at it, Ida was at it, and of course they get their five goals in the first period. It's going to have to be similar today.
How do you rate Hibs' chances of stopping Celtic? I mean, no one's really managing it, but they have scored six in the last two. They got that home draw against Aberdeen, they went to Motherwell and won 3-0. They've had a full week's rest. I'm trying to make the case.
Yeah, of course. Listen, it'll need an off day from Celtic and a good start from Hibs to try and get something to hold on to. I think last week against Motherwell was massive for Hibs, because if they'd have lost that and then you'd expect them to lose today, I don't know if the manager would have been in a job next week. So I think the Motherwell victory gave them a bit of confidence. You know, he was very complimentary, his team, after the 3-0 at Fir Park. But this is a different ask today.
I think
you're going up against a real class side.
Your concern always with Hibs is the back line, isn't it? And you look at the changes that have been made as well. Abita coming in, Miller in full back positions have been a real problem for Hibs this season. Concede too many goals from those pair, or a sending off. And then when you look at the, you know, their centre halves as well, there are mistakes in that Hibs back line. So David Gray's going to have to ask for a lot. He's going to have to, you know, hope that they're concentrated, they don't slip up, and he's going to need big performances all across that back line today.
Celtic would need to have a real off day, and Hibs would need to be spectacular for this to be anything other than a home win. And there's a look in Brendan Rodgers' eye this season. He wants this season, I think, to be a huge one for Celtic.
Okay, let's go to Paisley. St Mirren taking on Motherwell. David Friel is there.
Yeah, Gordon, and the weatherman in the studio will be happy to know it's absolutely Baltic here today. But look, it should be a good game. Sixth place team up against the seventh place team. Both teams coming in off the back of defeats into this one. But I think it's fair to say St Mirren are definitely in a better place than Motherwell as they look to leapfrog Motherwell today. Stephen Robinson's side lost 2-0 at Dundee United last weekend. There was controversy, of course. Marcus Fraser sent off only to have the red card rescinded after winning an SFA appeal this week. It's very rare now in the world of VAR, but he's free to play today, and I think St Mirren are going to be looking to get back on track at home as they try and chase down Motherwell. They've taken 10 points out of 12 before that United defeat. They're always strong at the Smyzer, but I think history, if you look at the scores between the teams, tells you this is going to be a tight game. The last 8 meetings, there's been 2 draws and 3 single goal wins for each side, so it tends to be tight. It was earlier in the season Motherwell beat St Mirren 2-1 in August, and I think Stuart Kettleway would clearly take that again after a poor run. They've lost 3 in a row, they've conceded 9 goals in those 3 games, and they badly need to tighten things up at the back. As you know, happens when you start to lose games, a lot of negative stats flying about just now. Motherwell won this week, that's quite eye-catching. They've kept just 4 clean sheets in their last 52 league games. They're currently 14 games without a clean sheet in all competitions. I think it's clear the loss of Paul McGinn, Stephen O'Donnell to injury hasn't helped in that front. There is good news, Stephen O'Donnell is back on the bench today. Stuart Kettleway was clearly unhappy with ref John Beaton during the week, his decision to play on after a head knock to Kofi Barmer before Dundee's crucial second goal in that 4-1 defeat. He spoke at length about it again yesterday, but look, it's a bit more than referees. He probably did have a point, but he'll also know that Motherwell need to up their performance levels. And saying that, they didn't get too much luck at Dundee, and they are still in a decent position, you know, top six. They've just been in a semi-final, sitting six just now with a game in hand on the likes of Dundee and St Mirren. So it's not all doom and gloom for Motherwell, but they do have to get back getting points on the board. We'll just run through the team. St Mirren are unchanged from Tannadice. It'll be the usual 3-4-2-1 formation. Ilari Balcombe in goals, a back three of Marcus Fraser, Alec Gogic and Richard Taylor. Elbus Bomono, Mark O'Hara, Killian Phillips and Scott Tanzer across the middle, with Conor McMenamin and Greg Kilty in behind. Toyosi Olasanya, Urminski, Yakaviti, John, Boyd Munn, Smythe, Adua, Mooney, Ayunga and Mandron are the subs. As for Motherwell, they have made 2 changes. Andy Halliday is in for Harry Payton, and Shane Blaney also comes in for Kofi Barmer at the back. Looks like a 3-5-2 setup. Aston Oxborough in goals, Dan Casey, Liam Gordon, Shane Blaney at the back. Jared Tavares will be a wing back along with Steve Seddon on the other side. Andy Halliday, Ewan Wilson and Lennon Miller will be the midfield 3, with Tony Watt and Apostolos Stamatolopoulos up front. Subs for Motherwell are Heggie, O'Donnell, Bammer, Kaleta, Dravkovsky, Payton, Nicholson, Ibi and Maswanisi. The referee at the Smyzer is Dan McFarlane, and the VAR is Don Robertson.
Speaking of away teams who could be doing with a win, Roger Hanna's watching Kilmarnock go to Tannadice.
Yes, Gordon, a few hangovers in the studio, but Derek McGuinness cannot afford Kilmarnock to have an Ibrox hangover today. We saw them lose 6-0 to Rangers on Wednesday night, and there are some damning statistics that tell you how poor Kilmarnock are at the minute. 4 defeats and a draw in their last 5. They've now conceded the most goals in the Premiership. They've the worst goal difference in the Premiership. They lie down in 10th place, or just 3 points above rock bottom Hearts, and it won't get any easier for them today. United, of course, spectacularly came back from 3-1 down for a 3-3 draw at Rugby Park in September. Louis Mould opened the scoring that day, and that's the only change from the side that beat St Mirren here 7 days ago. Mould coming in for Glenn Middleton in attack. He'll be on top with the Premiership Player of the Month, Sam Dalby, who'll celebrate his 25th birthday day, and he'll be hoping to do so with another home win for Jim Goodwin's side. So that United change, it means that Jack Walton's in goals, the back three, Emmanuel Adebayega, Declan Gallagher and Kevin Holt. Across the middle, Ryan Stray, Lucas Stevenson, Vico Savell, David Babinski and Will Ferry. And up top, it's Louis Mould and Sam Dalby on the bench. Richards, Sturton and Graham, Odada, Ubuchioma and Van der Sander, Thompson, Fotheringham and Middleton. Derek McInnes has reacted to that Ibrox defeat with 3 changes. Liam Polworth comes into the midfield for David Watson. Fraser Murray's at left wing back in place of Ollie Bainbridge. And up top, Bruce Anderson gets a start ahead of Marley Watkins. And that means it's Robbie McCrory in goal. A back three, Joe Wright has recovered from that nasty knock in the head he got at Ibrox in midweek. Lewis Mayo and Robbie Dees. Then Corey and Daba just in front of them. A midfield 4, Danny Armstrong, Brad Lyons, Liam Polworth and Fraser Murray. And up top, it's Bruce Anderson with the skipper, Kyle Vassell on the bench. O'Hara, Burrows and McKenzie, Watson, Mackay, Stephen and McGuinness, Watkins, Wales and Bainbridge. Kelly have won with clean sheets on their last 2 visits here. Vassell scoring 3 goals in those 2 wins, and McInnes made no bones about it. He wants a clean sheet first after the goals have been losing today. The referee here is Stephen McLean. The VAR is Alan Muir. And if it's half as good as their meeting in September, we're in for a good game of football today, Gordon.
Looking forward to that one equally. Tynecastle for Hearts against Dundee. Fraser Wishart is there.
Yes, I am. It's still a bit strange to talk about bottom of the table Hearts, but that's where they sit with 10 points after 15 games, only 2 wins all season. Of course, they're not adrift at the bottom, and they now have a run of games where they'll be looking to pick up points between now and the new year. And at that point, if they don't win any of those games and are adrift at the bottom and still bottom of the league, then I think that's when you can start to say that Hearts are in trouble. Things have improved a bit since Neil Critchley came in, especially in Europe, where every chance will be in the knockout stages. But in the January transfer window, you have to think this talk during the week of Tony Bloom being involved and all the analysts and all the expertise he would bring. They'll perhaps bring in a lone player like Ellis Sims a couple of seasons ago, who made a great impact here. But if Lawrence Shanklin starts firing, then that could be today. And I think this will be a tricky one for Hearts. Dundee in a good run of form. 3 wins, 1 draw in the last 5 games. They come here on the back of a comprehensive win in midweek against Motherwell. Leo Cameron has been the star man. Just turned 22 recently and really improving with every game, so Hearts will need to look after his attacking play. Really interesting to see Tony Docherty in the media today challenging his players to stay in the top 6. Clearly he is looking up the division table rather than down. Really positive talk from the manager. I think he fancies this one today, so a fascinating 90 minutes ahead. First 20 minutes might be most important. If Dundee can take control of the game, interesting to see how the Hearts fans will react. Hearts too good to go down. They need to start proving that by winning games fairly quickly. For Hearts, they made 3 changes. Out go Kingsley with that long-term injury. Kent's also injured, and Alan Forrest drops to the bench. In come Halkett, Penrice and Wilson. A 4-2-3-1 formation. Craig Gordon in goals. Daniel Oyugoki, Craig Halkett, Kai Rose and James Penrice across the back. In midfield, Cammy Devlin and Malachi Boateng. The 3 behind the striker, Musa Drame, Lauren Shanklin and Blair Spittle, and the lone striker is young James Wilson. The subs, Xander Clark, George Grant, Yutaro Oda, Alan Forrest, Jan Danda, Macaulay Tate, Adam Forrester, Kenny Vargas and Andres Salazar. 2 changes for Dundee from that midweek win against Motherwell. Tiffany and Murray drop to the bench. In come Robertson and Palmer Holden. Looks like a 3-4-2-1 formation for them. John McCracken in goals, Ryan Astley, Antonio Portales and Billy Cometio at the back. Josh Mulligan, Jordan McGee, Mo Silla and Finlay Roberts in midfield with Leo Cameron and Olu Adewumi behind the lone striker Seb Palmer Holden. The subs for Dundee, Harrison Sharp, Trevor Carson, Ethan Ingram, Scott Tiffany, Curtis Main, Simon Murray, Sean Kelly, Samuel Braybook and Julian Vetro. The referee at Tynecastle is Colin Stephen and the VAR is Andrew Dallas.
Should be a good one. What about Pittodrie then? Aberdeen against St Johnstone. Dave Galloway is there.
despite taking just 2 points from their last four matches. Gordon, Jimmy Tilleen insists nothing has changed for Aberdeen and it's all about his long-term blueprint for the team. Having set the bar so high this season, the Dons will be very keen to get back to winning ways starting today, although they're still in second place. Rangers are closing in very quickly. Simo Valakari is full of praise for his St Johnstone players for their response since he arrived as manager, but with only one victory in five matches, he's looking for performances that go from start to finish. They'd welcome anything they can get this afternoon, although they're in ninth place. Saints are just 3 points off the foot of the table. It's very congested down at the bottom. Aberdeen make a couple of changes, Clarkson and Milne replacing Duke and Devlin. So it's Ross Doohan in goals across the back, Jack Milne, Slobodan Rubicic, Gavin Molloy and James McGarry. The sitting midfielders, Graham Shinney and Sivert Helton and Nielsen. Then it's Leighton Clarkson, Jamie McGrath and Topi Keskinen behind the main striker, Kevin Nisbet. Subs for Aberdeen today, Richie, Devlin, Duke, Bissouin, Palaversa, Sockler, McDonald, Ambrose and Keskinen. A couple of changes also for St Johnstone. Nielsen and Matt Smith are in for Raymond and Carey. So they will start Josh Ray, then a back four of Dre Wright, Jack Saunders, Bozo Mikulic and Lewis Nielsen. Then it's Matt Smith, Sven Sprangler and Jason Holt, with Nicky Clark playing off the main front two, Mackenzie Kirk and Benji Kimpioka. On the bench for the Saints today, Sinclair, Cameron, Carey, Essel, Sibide, easy for me to say, Kusharevi, McPake, Kelshins and Franzak. Match referee at Pittodrie, Ross Hardy, and John Beaton is your man on VAR.
Looking forward to them all. What a lineup we have. Of course, Ross County Rangers tomorrow. Big games in the Championship, but that's you up to speed on your team news from the top flight. We'll take a look back at some of the other big talking points when we return.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale in the studio. The top team around the grounds. They've given you the team news. They've given you the scene setter. And we are raring to go on a Saturday afternoon. We quite often pause to reflect on some of the other big stories that are doing the rounds away from the Saturday games. And here's one that I thought we would touch on because we didn't really get to it last night. And as far as I can tell, there is only one of our pundits that was quoted on the front page of a newspaper this morning. And I think it was Fraser Wishart in relation to this story yesterday, that the SPFL have charged Celtic, Motherwell and Rangers over the behaviour of fans at the League Cup semi-finals relating to flares and pyros, delayed kick-off. And it's rare because the SPFL doesn't tend to get involved in this sort of stuff. What's your reaction to that, Fraser?
Yeah, I agree totally, Gordon. The SPFL doesn't tend to get involved in fan behaviour. You know, there's been objects thrown, there's been sectarian singing, racist chanting, but nothing seems to happen. But I think the fact that they have got involved, and the fact that Brendan Rodgers and Philip Clement clearly were told to speak out about it, tells you how worried football is. And of course we have a cup final in 8 days' time, and I think that's going to be a big test for the supporters. Doesn't it? I get how supporters want to have these flares. They look brilliant, they look fantastic, it brings a great atmosphere. But I know from my experience with other player unions across Europe and in Belgium, lower leagues, a player picked up one of these flares and to throw off the park and exploded, and he lost fingers and part of his hand. There's a Cypriot player who lost the hearing for a short period of time as well and got burns on his neck. We've had a young Dundee fan burnt last year as well. They are dangerous, and I just all want to try to say is reach out to supporters to say, listen, I know you want to do it, but it's not allowed, it's illegal to have them in the ground, and the chances of you or being hurt or hurting somebody else are pretty high, you know, and nobody wants to spoil the fun. But if we don't, you see football's worried, then Scottish Government and local authorities might just step in and take action, which none of us want.
Yeah, the SPFL described the behaviour as illegal, dangerous, irresponsible, and the clubs now face punishment for breaking the rules. We don't yet know what that punishment will look like. There will be coming together in the new year probably at this stage, and a disciplinary hearing will take place. Roger, what's your reaction to that one?
Well, it'll be a fine, Gordon. I don't think there's any doubt about it. It'll be a fine. The same as both clubs have had fines from UEFA in the past, and it just damages the clubs. The clubs don't want pyro. The managers don't want pyro. The players don't want pyro. They're going to end up, there's serious talks just now involving the Scottish Government and the SPFL. It's going to end up with football banning orders being widened. If you're caught with pyro at a game in the next wee while, you'll get a 10-year banning order from your club. It's as simple as that. So the message is, don't take pyro to the game. If you want to play with your pyro, do it in the garden. Do it up the street. In fact, don't do it up the street. Do it in your own garden, your own premises, because the people who have premises at Hampden, Celtic Park, Ibrox and Fir Park do not want your pyro, so stop it.
What do you think's behind the sudden decision for the SPFL to take notice of stuff like this?
I'm not too sure how sudden it is. There have been talks for a long time. The SPFL have been involved, Fraser will know about this. Scottish Government's been involved, the Police Scotland are involved in the talks as well. At the minute, the width of the football banning orders is quite narrow in Scotland. You need to be involved in sort of more or less serious criminal activity to land a football banning order. And I think the authorities now want the scope of these banning orders to be widened to include the likes of, you know, taking illegal pyros into the game. So it's not a sudden thing. I think they've been working behind the scenes on this for a while, but I think they would be stunned by the level of pyro in those two Premier Sports Cup semi-finals, and that probably forced their hand to take it to the clubs. And the clubs now, I mean, these might be the only three cases ever where the clubs are probably welcoming the charge, because they hope it's going to be a wake-up call to the supporters who take pyro to the games.
I just wondered if there was a pressure from somewhere, Fraser, not to say that that's not okay, just curious. I won't argue with my learned friend Roger about the use of the word sudden too much, but I've seen pyro hundreds of times at Scottish football matches. I just wondered why this was the one that the SPFL decided to get involved in. Like I say, I hope that doesn't come across like that's me saying that it's not okay to get involved. I just wonder if what changed.
I think it's probably in the back of the two semi-finals, Gordon, when the games were delayed and there was that toxic smoke going right across the field, and you couldn't see the start of the game, you couldn't see the pitch when you were watching on television or even if you were there. And I think that football is concerned about this as well. They're concerned there's a cup final next week, and Rangers and Celtic fans may well be making plans to have their own pyros displays as well. So I think there's a combination of things. I've been at some of these round table talks as well, and everybody is concerned about it. And certainly from my perspective, and this is just my view, I'm concerned that, this has never been said, but I'm concerned that local authorities might step in and just close a ground or close a stand or do something, because the local authorities license football games the same as they do any other event. So I think it's making it clear, plain to see for the supporters who want to come along and display the pyro. As I said earlier, it looks brilliant, it looks fantastic, I totally get why. But the message to them is, you can't, and you're not allowed to, and there could be consequences out with football if it happens again.
Yeah, I wonder, is there any, I don't know if compromise is the right word, but you're right, you've seen the appetite, you know, and all you have to do is look at the replies on social media where so many fans say, well, we're going to do it anyway, and it's not going to make a difference, and why does no one listen to the fans? There's clearly an appetite there for it, other leagues do it, you know, all those arguments that you've heard. Is there any room for any of that stuff for you?
Yeah, I think there is. I think that we need to listen to supporters, we need to talk to the supporters. I hear stories about safe pyro, and in other countries how it's all planned and it's in a certain area of the ground, and I think everything should be explored, and we need to speak to supporters. But until that's done, at the moment it's a serious situation for the clubs, it's a serious situation for the game, and I wouldn't want it to be that somebody either in the crowd or, you know, there's photographers behind the goals, there's police, there's stewards, there's players. We don't want somebody to be seriously hurt before people sit up and listen. I think the message is clear to supporters just now is, don't bring the pyro, and let's listen to supporters and see if some compromise can be found. I'm not an expert in these areas, but always happy to talk to supporters if they have an option where this can be done safely.
I suppose, on an isolated example, David Friel, Celtic fans have done this in Europe a number of times and had fines for it, and then it became quite clear that the next breach could lead to a you know, failure to get away tickets for a Champions League match, and lo and behold, it didn't happen then at the previous Champions League match. Does that prove it works, or is that just, you know, kind of isolated example?
I think it's maybe an isolated example in the sense that, you know, the punishment of missing a Champions League away match is clearly led to Celtic fans realising they need to stop it in terms of Champions League games. I'm not so sure a fine from the SPFL will make drastic changes, but I think it's just part of the wider strategy, Gordon, for me, I was like you yesterday. I was thinking, why now? Why all of a sudden, when the SPFL has never really been interested in strict liability or never adopted that, you know, are they suddenly charging clubs with unacceptable conduct? But when you spoke to people after the press release came out and speaking to people behind the scenes, I think it's clear that there's just a lot of, you know, a real weight of support behind eradicating pyro completely. And as Fraser said, you know, local authorities are involved, politicians are involved, police. And I think the SPFL just felt, given how long the delays were and how large the pyro displays were at the semi-finals, that this was the time to step in and do something. I don't see any coincidence, the cup finals next weekend. I don't know what's been planned by both sets of fans, but you clearly feel that, you know, the level of feeling is very strong here, and the Scottish football authorities, in line with politicians and cops, are really, really trying to crack down on this before someone gets hurt.
There's a bit of, you know, time to pass before we find out what that punishment would be, Roger, but if it is a fine, like you said you expect it to be, I suppose that would mean more to a club like Motherwell, because they're involved in this as well. And there is a notion there, when it happens to Celtic in Europe or it happens to Rangers, whatever, 20 grand, 30 grand, shrug of the shoulders, who cares? But those figures might mean a lot more to the smaller clubs.
100%, Gordon, there can't be any question about that. And I would expect once the fine is levied, it'll be levied at the same level for all three clubs, and it will hurt Motherwell more than it will hurt the big two Glasgow clubs. I don't know whether that will make any difference to the Motherwell supporters who launched the pyro at the semi-final game against Rangers. I don't know that, but I'm quite sure the people in charge at your club are just as anti-pyro as they are at Celtic and Rangers at the minute, because it's going to hit them hard in the coffers, and there'll be one. I'm sure the hierarchy at Celtic and Rangers are concerned about what might be planned for next week. But I just hope the supporters who are planning this take a moment and heed the advice of Brendan Rodgers and Philip Clement yesterday, because there are genuine safety concerns. Brendan Rodgers expressing concerns for the safety, not just of other supporters round about the ones with the pyro, but for his own players. Listen to what Fraser's saying about people who have been injured overseas. You know, that can happen here, and you would hate to think it would take something like that to happen here before people woke up to the dangers of it.
I always worry about people that are in and around that area when they're going off. When you're young, sometimes you don't see the dangers, you don't see or think of other people. But that's a concern for me, for supporters, especially our own supporters.
First, it's not safe. Secondly, it costs the club money, and we want to use that money in a better way, that we can do the right things with the squad, that the squad becomes better and the fans can be more happy with the squad. So, again, a clear message that it doesn't help in any sense towards the team.
My fear is they are fighting a losing battle, because the pyrotechnics are carried out by an antisocial element who have no interest in Philip Clement's feelings or Brendan Rodgers' feelings. And I have to disagree with Fraser. I don't think it is a great sight. It's a pain in the neck, and it will be disruptive before the cup final, because both Celtic and Rangers have an element within their support who will not be told what to do, and something extreme will have to happen before it is done away with.
It can be a great sight and a pain in the neck at the same time. They can coexist. But anyway, let's see what today has in store for us on the pitch. Lots coming up, and we go back round the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are 15 minutes away from kickoff across the country. Five big Premiership games, and of course lots of you in this part of the world will be drawn to Celtic against Hibs. Andrew McLean is there. And Andrew, I suppose this just becomes, these games, a test of Celtic's sort of desire and commitment. Most people expect that they are favourites, they've got the best players and all that sort of stuff, but the hunger levels that we witnessed against Ross County, it looks like a team that constantly goes out there knowing that there's a reserve cast behind them waiting to take their place.
Yeah, it's such a big thing when you look at the quality, no matter what Celtic do in terms of changing the team up that's on the pitch, that's on the bench. It means that none of these players are going to get complacent. They know that if they're not playing to the level that Brendan Rodgers thinks they're capable of, then they're going to find themselves on the bench, whether it's for a midweek game, whether it's for a big cup final coming up next weekend. So many massive matches that all of these players want to play in, want to be involved in. And they've got so many players in each position that can come in and fill those gaps when there are them. So These players will know that they have to go out here today against a team that are second bottom of the league, and they can't be complacent. They need to go out and show that desire that they had against Ross County. Go and score as many goals as they can. Make sure to win the game, first and foremost. Put the pressure on the likes of Aberdeen and Rangers, of course, who play tomorrow. Try and extend that gap at the top of the table, but to keep their place in this starting lineup. The likes of Luke McCowan, who will be desperate to play as many games as he possibly can for Celtic, in for just his fourth league start today. He'll want to be starting every single game, but when you look at the likes of Rayo Hatate, Arnott Engels, who they paid £11 million for, and plenty of other players in that area of the pitch who are all vying for those positions, they're all know they're looking over their shoulders, and we'll see what they can do today.
Yeah, and the one position, well, there are a couple, but one of the ones that Celtic fans seem a bit torn on, Mark, is the fullback one, because Greg Taylor's getting all sorts of stick against Bruges, and Vai comes on and changes the game, but then he plays the next game and maybe it's not quite there, and Taylor comes on at Pittodrie and sets up the goal. So still, but it feels like that's one of the areas that's really all to play for.
It is, but I still think Greg Taylor's ahead, purely because the way he plays in Celtic's system. I think he's so important. Now, I get Alex Vai is very good in the ball, very comfortable, and you'd expect him to be that coming from Barcelona. But I think the way Taylor plays that inverted role is crucial to what, you know, the success that Celtic get at the top end of the pitch. You've just seen it the other night. He almost goes over inverted for the goal, and it's so difficult to pick up. You see, actually, Duke, I think it is at the time, is it Duke? And he's looking, should I go with him? No, I'll leave him to somebody else. And that creates the opening. So he edges it just now. But it's incredible, Gordon. I'm the same as you. He still gets so much stick from Celtic supporters. One stray pass and they're on his back. You know, they have to appreciate what they've got there. But it's a great problem for Brendan Rodgers to have, because he knows, like the other night, if Alex Vai isn't on it, he can opt for Taylor.
Celtic against Hibs, of course, at Celtic Park. St Mirren, Motherwell, David Fiala, obviously, from a personal perspective, but even putting that to one side, quite fascinated by the position Motherwell find themselves in, because they're sixth, and let's be honest, that is absolutely fine for Motherwell. And yet you're seeing manager must go type stuff on social media. Maybe that's just a societal thing in 2024, I don't know, but he really could be doing with turning something around soon.
Yeah, it could, Gordon. It seems, listen, from the outside looking in, I sometimes feel that Motherwell fans are a bit quick to jump on Stuart Caterwell, as you said, sitting sixth just now, 19 points, pretty similar records to St Mirren with a game in hand. They've also got a game in hand on Dundee above them. I think Motherwell, you know, we speak about the clean sheets, they need to tighten things up. I actually think they just need to find someone up front that's maybe going to score 10 to 15 goals this season. Masuanisi is the top scorer in the league just now for Motherwell, 3 goals only. Badly missed Theo Bear, he replaced the goals of Kevin Van Veen. I think if, you know, Stuart Caterwell can find someone, maybe it is Stamatopoulos, who can get in the goals week in, week out, then it will make a big change. But look, as I said earlier, I don't think it's doom and gloom for Motherwell, but I do understand with the last three performances why fans are starting to ask questions. Maybe the team and Stuart Caterwell have just raised the expectations, but this is clearly a big one just now, because Stuart spoke during the week actually about, you know, stopping the rot and stopping the bleeding. Well, this is a big chance to do that against St Mirren. But we speak about St Mirren, I know they're also looking at it as a chance to get back into the top six. So yeah, good one ahead here, but I think there's pressure on both sides.
Yeah, the number one target in the playing squad amongst the Motherwell fans seems to be Gio Tavares, and he's kept his place at right wing back, so quite a task for him today to win over some of the doubters.
Yeah, it is, and I must admit, Gordon, having watched him for Hibs and then for Motherwell, I never had him down as a right wing back, where I'm led to believe he's playing today. I don't really see it with him, I'll be brutally honest with you. I don't really know what position is his best one. He's flattered to deceive every time I've seen him. I can understand again why the Motherwell fans are asking questions about that, but look, Stuart Caterwell has taken players, played them in different positions and got the best out of them, so I think you probably need to trust his judgement in that. But yeah, he's slightly different to Stephen O'Donnell, let's say that. Stephen O'Donnell been on the bench today, but yeah, Tavares has, you know, been the subject of some criticism. We'll see how he gets on today against a very good player, Scott Tanzer.
Let's go to Tannadice, because Roger Hannah, you like me were working at Ibrox midweek. It on the pitch looked like a very un-Derek McInnes like performance from his team, and you could almost sense his demeanour, his mood, the hoarse voice that he had after that he'd had a long discussion with his players and really wanted to try and fix this. Because sometimes you can go to Ibrox, you can go to Celtic Park, you lose heavily, you park it, you move on, but I think people had higher hopes for this Killy team that being difficult to play against.
Yeah, very much so. It's odd, Gordon. I did the corresponding fixture at the end of September, a 3-3 draw at Rugby Park, and that was at the end of a run of 7 without a win for Kilmarnock. And people at that stage were saying, well, you know, they've had a great Euro run, that took a lot of energy out of them. They played Cercle Bruges, Tromso, they played Copenhagen. You know, once they got all that out of the way, they'll be fine. But if you look at the teams below them in the league, Hibs and Hearts, if they were to spend money in January and get themselves out of that, where does that leave Kilmarnock? And the defence is a real worry. I think it's now 23 goals lost in 9 away games this season. Stuart Finlay's out long term, and as well as losing 6 at Ibrox, you know, Robbie McCrory's made 5 good saves. They just couldn't stomp crosses into the box. They couldn't deal with it all. And you know, Derek was absolutely exasperated when he came in to speak to the media after the game, having had a very lengthy post-mortem, as you.
Oh, we lost Roger Hannah, but we got the gist of it. We were nearly there. We were nearly finished with the Kilmarnock analysis, I think. So let's go to Tynecastle and speak to Fraser, because Fraser, I'm fascinated by Hearts' position. Of course, they're bottom of the league. Of course, that's not good enough. Of course, they're not getting wins. But actually, when you look at the 10 games now that Neil Critchley has been in charge of, I'm not convinced he's actually had any terrible results within that 10 games. The games he's lost have all been against Celtic, Rangers, Bruges, Heidenheim. The games he's drawn have been against Aberdeen and in a derby. So I wonder if this is the first time, game number 11, where there's actually a real sort of pressure and expectation on Hearts at home to Dundee to get the job done, and nothing less than a win will satisfy the fans. Oh, he's not there either. Good, just talk to myself.
You answered all his questions.
It's a 90 second long question.
The real problem for Hearts, and I thought it was.
Oh, but I think we can just about hear him now. Fraser, take it away. Oh, nice. Sounds like a robot.
Somebody's cracked on my joke.
Sounds like a Dalek.
They had their AGM in the week, and Andrew McKinley, the CEO, started talking about analytics and how it might take Hearts to a position where they challenge for the title. I would have kept that one to myself at the moment when you're bottom of the league. People don't want to hear your pie in the sky talk. The real problem is the Shankland factor. One goal all season long. No one to help Shankland. Even forced into taking penalty kicks in Europe when no one else can stand up. And
oh, he's a penalty taker, though.
Well, you know, at that stage, I'd have been looking at someone else to take the burden off him. But anyway,
you've got to start scoring, Hugh, and it was a great opportunity. So I can totally take on board. If I was Shanklin, I would have grabbed the ball. I'm saying I'm taking that penalty kick. So I know what you're saying, but I just think you've got to start scoring goals, and that was a great opportunity for him.
The Shanklin factor is the number one reason why Hearts are bottom of the league. And I take your point, Gordon, about today being very important, because if you don't get it against Dundee, and there's no reason why Tony Docherty should be in any way apprehensive, he's doing a terrific job at Dens Park, but if they don't get a home win against Dundee, I think the crowd turned today.
Let's get ready, because the 3 o'clock kickoffs are coming up next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Minutes away from kickoff in our 3 o'clock game, so let's go back to Celtic Park and build up there with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, despite the cold conditions, I think these Celtic fans will have been turning up today and turning up to whichever stadium Celtic are playing at with a spring in their step at the moment, expecting a win, expecting good football, and maybe expecting them to just continue to pull away at the top of the table with the way things are going at the moment. We mentioned it earlier on, but a lot of the intrigue does come in the way of team selection. Brendan Rodgers ringing the changes again today. Cameron Carter-Vickers is rested. He's normally seen as such a big miss and has been over the years, but Trusty and Scales, they've proven they can be a real strong partnership when they're together. There's been a lot of clamour amongst the support for Luke McCowan, who's in the starting lineup today. Maybe a few question marks as well midweek, why, you know, during such a vital game against Aberdeen, that £11 million of Arna Engels only played the last few minutes of that match. So he'll be hoping that he can go out and put on a bit of a show today as well. The team's making their way out the tunnel at the moment. Hibs, of course, the opponents, they got that big win last weekend against Motherwell. This, I can guarantee, is not the game David Gray would have handpicked to have afterwards, because they would really be wanting to try and build some momentum and try and, you know, work their way up the table after that 3-0 win. To come up against Celtic at Celtic Park, certainly not ideal. A huge test of their character today, and every single game still absolutely vital for David Gray at the moment. He of course had that sort of dreaded public vote of confidence, didn't he, a few weeks ago. They got a draw against Aberdeen, they got that win against Motherwell. Can they do anything against Celtic today? I'll just read you through the teams as the players shake hands with each other and the officials. Kasper Schmeichel in goal for Celtic today. The back four, Alistair Johnson, Austin Trusty, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. The three in midfield, Callum McGregor, Arna Engels and Luke McCowan, Nicholas Kuhn and Dyson Maeda either side of Adam Ida. For Hibs, David Gray has found a bit of success after changing formation. He's now gone for a three at the back, five at the back, which has worked in the last couple of matches. Warren Ahora, Rocky Bashiri and Jack Iredale are the three central defenders. Lewis Miller, the right wing back. Jordan Obita is the left wing back. Nectar Triantis and Joe Newell, the two central midfielders. Normally they've been playing with one in behind two strikers, but just with a selection today, I think it probably will be a front three, or maybe just more of a flat midfield four. Mikola Kuharevic will be the lone striker, Eli Yuan and Nicky Cadden in the wide areas for David Gray's side today. The referee is Chris Graham, the VAR is Ewan Anderson. The Celtic players in their huddle at the moment, Callum McGregor giving the final words to his players as they look to go out and try and get another victory in what is a very busy month, a very vital week. They look to try and get that Champions League qualification to the knockout round, to that playoff round, sealed up this week if they can, when they take on Dinamo Zagreb in Croatia on Tuesday, and of course a huge cup final at Hampden against Rangers on Sunday. But for now, the focus is Hibs. It's here at Celtic Park, and we are just about to get underway.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
Right, come on then. Amaze the nation with how bad you are at your predictions, you three. Give us your five-game Saturday ACCA, just for a bit of fun and bragging rights. Go.
Celtic, home win. St Mirren, home win. Dundee United, home win. Aberdeen, home win. Hearts versus Dundee, draw.
I'll go Celtic, home win, but I don't think it'll be as comfortable as it was last week against Ross County. A draw, St Mirren, Motherwell. I'm going to go for a Kilmarnock away win.
Ooh,
I think
that's a big one.
I think it'll be a big turnaround for Derek McInnes' side today. Hearts home win and an Aberdeen home win.
Gordon, I'm going to go Celtic.
That directed at somebody. Was it?
Celtic, St Mirren, Dundee United, Kilmarnock draw, Hearts home win, Aberdeen home win.
Okay, there we go. Let's settle back and enjoy whatever Saturday afternoon has in store. Celtic Park, clearly a big focus to see if Celtic can stretch their lead. Aberdeen can stay where they are in second. I know what Hugh Keevans means in Glasgow speak. It's stretching the lead over Rangers, and then they have the chance to respond at Ross County tomorrow. But big games everywhere you look. We're talking about Motherwell needing something, Kilmarnock needing something. If Hearts are going to pick up the way lots of people expect them to, no disrespect to Dundee, but a home game against Dundee would be the type of occasion you would look to do that in. So there is so much at stake. Sam Dalby's headed wide after just 14 seconds though, so Kilmarnock on the back foot early on. The Scottish Premiership Player of the Month, Sam Dalby.
Well, I've said a number of weeks here how good a signing
chance,
he's been.
Huge chance for Hibs. Kukurevic straight through one on one and saved by Kasper Schmeichel. Ooh. Straight from the halfway line, straight through, and the goalkeeper had to make the save. So bit of a early warning sign for Celtic that not many people would have expected.
Well, I'd be taking Trusty and Scales off and Carter Vickers back on.
Yeah, it's a Hibs corner.
Yeah, it's a good start. Good positive start. I think Hibs will take a lot of confidence for last week's result against Motherwell. This is a different task, of course it is, but when you get opportunities, especially early on at Celtic Park, you've got to take them, got to make the most of them.
Kasper Schmeichel, I think I'm right saying 11 clean sheets in 14 games for Celtic in the league, and he had another good game at Pittodrie midweek. He has been a massive signing for Celtic. He's even older than Joe Hart, the man he replaced, but he's having the proverbial Indian summer in goal. Top class signing for Celtic.
An early warning sign, yeah. You need to be guarded against that. And
yeah, well, Schmeichel then forced into another save. Nicky Cadden's half volley from the edge of the box, he spilled it, and then it was cleared away. So Hibs very much on the front foot.
Wouldn't it be the first time though Celtic have started sloppily at Celtic Park
Remember a few games they concede a few chances early on, so what's what they're doing.
But when you're Hibs, you've got to capitalise. You know, if Celtic start slowly, you get an opportunity. One and one, the goalkeeper. Celtic's point of view, terrific goalkeeping. From Hibs' point of view, you've got to take them. You've got to take their chances. Golden chance at Celtic Park.
Well, if you're a Celtic player who thinks he should be in the team, and then you are in the team, and then you get sloppy, then you have no complaint when you're back out the team. But Celtic will have to reset because today is too important for them. It would be a real bad omission if they were to drop anything at home after what they did at Pittodrie in midweek.
Yeah, it's going to be a test, this one, again, for them, because everybody just expects them to go and steamroller teams. But, you know, no game is easy. They made easy work of Ross County last week, but
Sam Dalby's hit the post now for Dundee United. He's not hanging about. Chance for a St Mirren free kick to be delivered into the box. A handball by Andy Halliday. Sorry, Mark, as you were saying.
No, I'm just saying that it's never easy, these games, especially the Hibs, you know, finding a wee bit of form. They're always likely to slip up and maybe a mistake at the back, but they carry a threat going forward. But I think, like I said at the start, I think Celtic will win this, but I don't think it'll be as comfortable as people.
First goal is always important, Mark. If Celtic can, you know, weather a storm just now, Hibs have had a good start to it. Of course, they have made the best chances. But if Celtic get the first goal, that belief in the head seems to go down, especially at Celtic Park. So it's important that, you know, they won't panic. You know what, like, they'll play patient football, they'll dominate most of the ball. It's just getting the first goal.
Yeah, who would have thought? First few minutes at Sol Hibs with the chances, but I'm sure Celtic will try and do something up the other end very soon indeed. Still Hibs though, Ellie Ewan with a shot this time, gathered by Kasper Schmeichel. So they've started very, very quickly indeed, have the visitors. Why don't we start quickly as well, Hugh Keevans, okay, if you're ready.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Topical question: with the Premier Sports Cup final just a week away, since the 2014-2015 tournament, six players have scored in the semi-final and the final of the same Scottish League Cup. Since 2014-2015, six players have scored in the semi-final and the final of the same Scottish League
Let
Cup.
Let me stop you right there. Hibs have been chapping at the door. We've got a goal at Celtic Park.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And it's Celtic 1, Hibs 0. It's Arne Engels in at the front post. If you're Hibs, you're probably wondering what on earth you need to do. They've started very brightly, but it's no surprise, really, over the piece that Celtic are the team to go in front. And it's the man whose questions have been surrounding his inclusion in the team, Arne Engels. 6 minutes on the clock, steals in at the front post and finds the back of the net.
That ought to do wonders for his confidence on a personal level. He must be aware of people being bemused by some of the displays and feeling that he should be doing more to justify the fee. The fee is not set by the player, of course. So that's a terrific start for Arne Engels, and Celtic have regrouped after Kasper Schmeichel was forced into keeping them in the match early on.
It sums Hibs up a little bit this season. You know, they got off to a good start, they've created chances, but you just know that first goal's coming. They can't defend properly. Engels, you know, he'll take a lot of confidence for that. He's a very good player. There's no doubt about it. Yes, he's went off the boil a little bit. He's a young lad. He's learning the Scottish game. He's got his opportunity this afternoon, and he's certainly taking it.
Yeah, it could have been done with that. I mean, I wonder if he's taken back by some of the scrutiny coming this way. He'll probably not be used to the pressure that comes. Won the price tag, but being at a club like Celtic. So, you know, more goals like that, more assists he gets, then obviously the better for him early on in his Celtic career. But that's right, Hibs just can't defend. They can't defend in wide areas. I highlighted it before the game, a beater coming back in the side. If you go to Celtic Park, it's okay creating a few chances in the first few minutes, that's great, but you know you're going to have to defend for the majority. You can't just allow people to cross the ball in the box.
It's such a simple goal. See, if you're David Gray, you're looking at your defenders and thinking, we can't lose. You've got to be down the bottom of the league if you're losing goals like that week in, week out. He got a great boost last week against Motherwell, 3-0 at Fir Park. I know this is a different situation today, but if you're defending like that, it doesn't
matter.
You're
trying to say Arnie Ingles is better than Andy Halliday? Is that what you're getting at here?
Oh, I don't know. I think the two of them in the same part. Well,
Celtic,
if I'm honest.
Celtic are ticking now. Luke McCowan's hit the crossbar. It was a cutback from Daizen Maeda, and Luke McCowan trying to get in on the act. Remember last week it was 5 within 40 minutes, and Celtic didn't even start that quickly there. So Hibs will need to be careful. At St Mirren, Kilty's had a turn and volley deflected wide. They're the team with the most of the chances so far, the hosts. Did you finish that teaser, Hugh?
Yeah, I'll quickly run through it though. Since 2014-2015, 6 players have scored in the semi-final and final of the same league cup. Who are they?
Good question. Really like that question. And it's at Clyde SSB. It is a race, so you need one tweet, 6 correct answers, and to do it faster than everyone else. So get going at Clyde SSB. And I always say though, the more the merrier taking part. If you don't think you can get all 6, just chuck a few names at us and we'll try and give you a mention as well. Hearts have started well. One of the high points for them has been the form of James Penrice. Another bottom of the league, but it looked a very good signing since coming from Livy. He's had a low cross, Musa's left footed volley just wide. So they've started brightly. Celtic are in front. St Mirren have had a couple of sniffs. Aberdeen have started brightly without creating much, and we are properly up and running.
I'd have been great for Mark and I if this was a week we were going with Christmas party. Into Glasgow. 2 minutes.
Lovely. Yeah.
Two minutes.
I've had enough of Glasgow after last night.
Daniel O'Donnell standing next to me.
Oh, I was walking about soaked with that velvet jacket on.
Velvet jacket and polar neck.
Honestly, there's nothing like him to bring you down. You were chuffed with your velvet jacket, your polar neck, your hair swept over to the side, and he's calling you Daniel O'Donnell.
He says that to me. The first thing he said, I like your jacket, you look like Daniel O'Donnell. I thought, that's not a compliment.
That's a compliment. He's a housewife's favourite. That was a big compliment. No, you were looking suave last night.
No, the real housewife's favourite was Marty Pello at the Cash for Kids lunch. Did you feel
his big purple suit on?
You a bit threatened? You like to think of yourself as the housewife's favourite. You didn't get a look in when Marty was around.
Not at all. And look, I'm quite happy to play second fiddle to Marty. He was very good. I really enjoyed his set. And it was a fantastic day and raised some great money for
Cash for Kids. The thing is, Hugh, as well, hope he doesn't mind. I hope he's not got an ego, because the fact that you were there means he was the second most famous person from Clydebank at the Cash for Kids lunch yesterday.
And he knows that.
That's fine.
Inwardly, he knows that. I'll never forget the day my daughter poured a full glass of Coca-Cola over him by accident. They were about to sponsor Clydebank, and Clydebank wore wet on their shirts, and they launched the idea. And my daughter was so excited at meeting Marty Pello, she spilled the Coke all over his... He had a Mississippi gambler red suit on.
I was a wee bit...
I'm sure he's over it.
I was a wee bit disappointed I didn't get asked up to do a duel.
After your karaoke video went viral.
Can I get the audio of Dale singing karaoke? We used it on Thursday night show.
I wasn't karaoke, it was live.
It was a live band.
Oh, you're with a band.
His timing was brilliant.
Texas.
For anyone who missed it on Thursday, we have to get it out there again. It was fantastic. I was very impressed with you, so I'll play that at some point.
Oh, I'm getting a lot of good feedback yesterday from it. A lot of people coming up and asking.
You did make a brief appearance on stage last night at Cash for Kids.
Oh, do you know, I was just too early for the real punchline and for Cash for Kids. But
did you go up on the stage?
I guess part of the I or No game.
Oh, I must have missed
the question. And I don't know if our listeners have any opinion on this. I or no, Gordon Dale once snogged Sonika.
Yes. All right, I don't even need to hear the name.
I'm not in that league.
He told me.
People had to guess yes or no to that and then sit down.
Some people were guessing yes.
That's believable.
I went, look, I've not snogged her.
He told me what was going to be the punchline, and let me tell you, there was no too early or too late. It was a career-ending punchline.
Listen, he's been skating on thin ice for a long time, quite frankly. I'm glad you survived. Just don't say anything else, okay?
It was a fantastic day. I've got to say,
over £400,000 raised for Cash for Kids. So really brilliant, fantastic stuff. And of course, we've still got the text competition running as well. I'll maybe tell you more about that later on in the show. What else have we got here? Any updates coming in? Not yet. Still that Celtic goal where they lead Hibs by an Arnie Ingles strike to nil. Now Luke McCown has hit the bar as well. What a game, really, because Hibs had a good few early chances, believe it or not, and in many ways could and should have been one in front. But it's Celtic that are one in front, and all of a sudden they will be fearing the worst. Hibs, Motherwell now getting a bit more of the ball, trying to get balls in to the box. It really has to be, Gordon, I take David Field's point, because you are wondering where the goals come from. First of all, it was, how do you replace Van Veen? No problem. Theo Bear. Then how do you replace Theo Bear? But really, Motherwell's defending in the last two games, 7 goals conceded, and most of them disastrous.
I watched the highlights against Dundee midweek, and I thought middle to front Motherwell played very well, created a few chances, really did. I watched them against Hibs at Fir Park, and their defending was absolutely shocking. Shocking. So look, I look at this situation now. Stuart Kettlewell's come in for a bit of stick, and that's just the modern day game now. You go two games without a win, and all of a sudden people are wanting a manager. It's incredible. He's sitting in the top six. Yes, the results of late haven't been that great. I think this is a big game for him today, and it'll be difficult against St Mirren, who are right in their heels. They're sitting in seventh, 1 point behind. They'll need to dig in deep, but they'll need to defend better.
Ball over the top for Adam Ida. His touch, though, he's just kind of on the turn. It's a bit close to Jordan Smith, who gathers. I was going to say, Mark, this next period, you know, we fall into these kind of cliches and say, oh, this next period's important for Hibs, and I'm sure it is, but the last week has taught us of just how quickly things can flip. You look at Celtic the other night, I mean, Rangers, sorry, first and foremost, the other night, it's kind of 1-0, and all of a sudden it's just maybe a 20-minute period where things get really away from you. So, and you need to be switched on to that for the entirety of the game.
Yeah, right? You're right, it can unravel really quickly. Now the problem for Hibs is to get that wee taste of going up the pitch, and you obviously try and nick something early in the game, but you end up stretched and leaving huge spaces, and in the big pitch at Celtic Park with those quality players, you're going to concede chances. But this, you're right, 10 minutes, you look at last week, Hibs would have done their analysis on last week's game. I'm pretty sure they would have looked at some of the goals Ross County conceded and some of the movements and patterns that Celtic had in that game. That could quite easily happen here today, and it's taking that sort of form on just now. Ida probably should have scored there to make it 2. So Hibs have to be really careful just to hang in there.
Stuart Kettlewell's getting a bit frustrated. Lennon Miller's flighted 2 free kicks into the box. They've gone straight out of play. Neither goalkeeper troubled so far at Pittodrie. Aberdeen against St Johnstone, got some goals going in down the leagues. East 5-1 Elgin 0, and Queen's Park 1 Airdrie 0. Airdrie just looked destined to lose every single
game. What's happened
game
to them?
Dom Thomas with the goal there after 14 minutes. What about the Championship? What's jumping out at you today? We always tend to start with you.
I think Falkirk and Raith is a very good game.
Falkirk 1 up, by the way.
Okay, I fancy Falkirk there. And obviously Ayr United and Partick, 3rd and 4th respectively. That'll be a good game, especially Partick after last week's disappointment getting put out of the cup. They're sitting there behind Ayr United in 4th place, so
really could do with a win. By all accounts, Thistle played really well last week. Could have been 2, 3, 4 up, and they didn't take their chances.
The office staff telling you that?
Well, that's
right.
Big Brian was telling us. He says he was magnificent, but he missed too many chances.
Big Brian and Graham hangs about with you quite a lot, didn't he?
We're pals, old teammates.
Every Saturday, better concentrate on his training.
They're both the same age. That's it.
Are they?
Yeah.
What age are you?
40.
He's not 40.
Brian's got a few years left, but could do well one there. Just
oh, sure,
make up the points difference.
For your 40.
You did,
yeah.
I
remember.
What did you get me again?
Can't remember.
Oh, Scotland top. Got me a Scotland top for the Euros. Love it.
Another chance for Hibs there. Obita down the right picks out Joe Newell in the box. He's sort of on the stretch though and skies it over. Not a sitter by any stretch of the imagination, but probably should have done better there. I see Thistle are having a bit of a whinge, if that's the right phrase, about the kickoff time for Hogmanay.
Oh, by
what
the way,
time is it?
3 o'clock in the day on Hogmanay.
It's not a public holiday.
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. It's not a public holiday.
There's no other
Everybody
games
will
on.
Be at work. So that both clubs had to agree
Never
on a day,
work,
and they couldn't agree on it. But apparently the league said it had to be played before the end of the year, and they've ended up, even though two of them are out the cup, so they could have played it in January the 18th or something, around about that. But Hogmanay, so the fans not pleased at all. Strange one.
I think they'll get a good crowd in that.
3 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think they might. Just I have no idea why. Well, yeah. So you're saying it's not a public holiday?
I don't think it's a public holiday.
But will there not still be enough people off
for
whatever reason?
Yeah, of course
there
will be.
The people
I'll be fascinated to see
Christmas and New Year.
Not everyone gets the luxury, but
I'm
some
not
people
sure if
try.
I wanted to go down to Greenock on Hogmanay.
It's not be Greenock.
Mm.
Or is it away from home? Oh,
away from home. Yeah, yeah.
That Joan Yule chance, by the way, just hearing a bit more about it. Think he, again, I'm not putting it in sitter territory, but really Hibs would be looking to get level on a chance like that. Steve Seddon's had a high boot on Elvis.
Oh, uh-huh.
Bomono. There's only one Elvis around here,
uh-huh,
though. Gordon DL, as you've never heard them before. Are you thinking, Hugh, we discovered this during the week? Someone sent me an old video of Gordon.
Well, Elvis is a long time dead, but he'll still be biddling in his grave.
I had the white suit and everyone.
Oh, dear.
Nah, I'm only kidding. No.
I think you're quite good. I think you're all right at that.
Absolutely delighted to discover it. And as I said, it was uploaded to YouTube 18 years ago, apparently. Oh. It must have been one of the first videos ever uploaded to that website. And there you are. It features Gordon DL.
Where were you?
I was in Kirkcaldy. And I was asked by the band to go up and do a song with them. And obviously, me being the shy type of guy that I am, I was right up there.
They weren't recorded yet that Elvis has passed away. So.
Were you managing at that point?
I was the manager, yeah.
You were the manager!
I led by example.
Oh, no wonder they got rid of you. Bringing the club into disrepute.
I'll tell you what, I brought so much joy to those people at Kirkcaldy that day. Sunday afternoon. Never
was a Sunday afternoon, was it?
Was a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good day.
That's why you were on stage.
We have a teaser up and running, Hugh, if you could remind your adoring public of the question.
Yes, since 2014-2015, six players have scored in the semi-final and the final of the same Scottish League Cup. Who are they?
I really like that question. I'm very much enjoying it. Bailey thinks Cameron Carter-Vickers.
No.
What about Borna Barisic?
Not there.
Amanda wants to throw in a few names that you would almost expect, but I think they're wrong as well. Hugh, Kyogo?
Nope.
Forrest?
Nope.
Edward?
No.
Kyogo? None of these players have done this.
Oh, right.
Better get him out.
Incredible. It's quite an impressive list. Lennon Miller's cross, Balcombe punches clear. Andy Halliday's in there trying to make a nuisance of himself. Tavares hits the bar, but the foul was already given, so it stays St Mirren nil, Motherwell nil. It's 0-0 Aberdeen St Johnstone and Hearts Dundee and Dundee United Kilmarnock. The only goal comes at Celtic Park, and despite big chances for Hibs, it is Arnie Ingles. Here is a goal that will interest you, I promise.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Go on, throw some guesses at me.
Shankland.
Yes, Lawrence Bim. Shankland.
Are you seen up there?
Constant up there scrutiny for chances missed and no goals scored or only one so far. What a relief. You can almost hear the sigh of relief from here. It's a good finish. Back post header. One of those where he loops it back across the goal and into the corner. Hearts have the lead, and it feels like the old times, Hugh. It's through Lawrence Shankland.
And only his second goal of the season. The other one came at Tynecastle. Belated goal against Ross County there. So that's a major boost for Shankland. And you'd expect the entire team and the entire stadium to get a lift from that. So Tony Docherty and his players have their work cut out.
I'm delighted for him, Hugh, because I've looked at some of his performances, and apart from the goals, which he's known for, his performances have been really good. You know, his link up play, everything about him has been excellent. But when you're a goal scorer, and especially after the season of last year, you're expected to do it again. It's very, very hard to score goals, and that is brilliant for him this afternoon.
Yeah, you can see the relief on his face, according to Fraser Wishart, even up there in the stands.
He's well, on it, isn't he?
Those fans,
yeah, put his glasses on, you see him.
Those fans who had a terrible chant directed at him in Belgium when he missed the penalty kick against Cercle Bruges, I wonder how they're feeling now.
Queen's Park now 2-0 up on Airdrie. Louis Longridge, Airdrie's woes continue. I think we're beyond woes. What's worse than woes? Someone can tell me. Kukurevic is through again for Hibs, but it's a heavy touch and he can't then quite get the shot away. Hibs have had far more chances than anyone would have expected inside the first quarter of this match. They find themselves a goal down and they will be kicking themselves.
Hibs have created more chances than MD that's went to Celtic Park this season.
So more than Celtic today, yeah, as well.
Incredible. But if you're going to get something out of the game and you've got this opportunity and you're creating these chances, you've got to take them.
Yeah.
Got to take them or you'll get punished. And that's what happened to them early on.
Yeah, steady. Obviously, you need to take one of those. Unfortunately, Hibs, not big goal scorers at all this season. You know, they've got a leaky defence. They've only scored 18 this season. There you go. They've had three or four good chances in the opening 25 minutes and failed to take any of them. It's the story of their season so far in this 25 minutes.
Celtic have major work to do in Zagreb Tuesday night. And there's a cup final next weekend, and Brendan Rodgers can't just dismiss the kind of defensive laxity that has contributed towards him getting so many chances in the first quarter of the game.
Kukurevic is now down injured though. What an opening to the game he's had. I mean, these are proper chances that he's passed up. Genuinely, he really should have done much better, and he's now down injured as well. So that will be a real frustration for him if that's his afternoon's contribution come to a close.
Yeah, I think it's his pride that's been injured, because he's had two glaring chances at Celtic Park.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal at Pittodrie and it comes for St Johnstone. It's Mackenzie Kirk from close range. There was a cross in from the right. He's been impressive. He's been coming off the bench. He's got a couple of starts. And he's shown exactly why he's been kept in the team by Simo Vallecari. It was Smith with the cross, Mackenzie Kirk with the finish. Aberdeen 0, St Johnstone 1. Celtic's lead at the top,
bubble burst
growing.
Well, yeah, I said to you in the introduction to the programme, has the Jimmy Tilleen bubble burst? 2 points from the last 12. Not to win today would be a major blow for him, a major encouragement for Rangers ahead of the game at Dingwall tomorrow, and really time for a fresh assessment. If he does not get all 3 points, time for a fresh assessment of what's going on.
Yeah, I still think there's plenty of time for him, obviously, to come back. They're at home. There'll be a good crowd in at Pittodrie. I watched him the other night. I thought they've got good players. I thought Celtic deserved to win the game, I've got to say. I thought second half Celtic played well. But they have got good players. They've got a threat. But that's a disappointing start. But well done to St Johnstone. St Johnstone are one of these funny teams. You never know what you're getting with them.
Mackenzie Kirk doing well though, because I think everybody thought at the start of the season St Johnstone's main threat was from their front two, and he wasn't part of it. But he's keeping Sidibe out the side, scoring a couple of goals. Well done.
Looked at them last Sunday against Rangers. I thought St Johnstone were, I mean, not that Rangers were any great shakes at all. I thought St Johnstone were poor, and I'm quite taken aback that they're a goal up at Pittodrie.
I just think it's I've never seen a good game at McDermott Park.
I'm with you.
I've never seen a good game. I just there's something about it.
But actually, the standout one, Celtic earlier on the season,
where it was score almost six up there.
Perfect. Yeah. But apart from that,
bad check watch from you. That.
Well, one good performance at Mark.
James Forrest not score four and a half up there or something as well.
Four. Yeah.
It was a poor game though.
Great game.
Right, Kukurevic went down, got treatment, came back on, down again, and off he's going to go. So what a frustrating afternoon. He's had two proper sitters at Celtic Park, missed them both, and Hibs trail, off he goes. So there's a change being made. Josh Campbell is coming on. In Paisley, Conor McMenamin smashed a shot off the bar from a tight angle, but that's a blow for Hibs because they clearly had a vision in mind for how Kukurevic's performance would go, and it gone that way up to that point. Just the finishing touch.
He's caused them problems. He's caused them problems. He's been through twice, one and one with the goalkeeper. But I've got to say, you can excuse him for missing maybe one, but when you're through twice, one and one with the goalkeeper, you've got to take one of the chances as a striker.
I think Clyde Bank will knock them out the Scottish Cup at Easter Road. I think the Bankies have been looking at this and thinking, yes, we can take them.
Who are they playing today here at the Bankies?
St Rocks.
Oh, at home, because I've seen them all there. At
Stadio Yoka.
Is that a cup game?
A league game, I thought.
Is it? I saw them all walking in, much like Gordon DL. I have to say. I saw them making the great trip thing, along though. The road.
Absolutely great thing for Clydebank to be back inside a Premiership ground. Yeah. It's a real reminder of the past. I was delighted when I saw the draw.
I used to like playing at Kilbilly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, the dressing rooms were terrible, but yeah. I liked playing at, because it was very
was
closed,
closed in. Yeah, yeah.
It was a great, great venue to go and play.
I think they might be getting beat 4-3, or are they winning 4-3? It's 4-3 anyway. So, oh no, 4-3, yeah, 4-3 down.
Oh. Entertaining game.
Yeah.
Nearly done as well, nearly finished.
Started so well, Clydebank this season. They went that long time without being beat.
I see they're missing my family. They're all the way up the Highlands to see the other part of the family.
St Mirren back on top in Paisley. Kilty with a good chance to cross, but messes it up. And frustrating for Stephen Robinson. Reminder of your question, please, Shug.
In season 2014-2015, six players have scored in the semi-final and the final of the same Scottish League Cup.
You can always tell a good question by the number of wrong answers. Amanda wants to throw in Alfredo Morelos.
Amanda's really trying hard.
I just finished the S when you said Morelos.
What it's about Chris Kane of St Johnston?
No.
Jamie Dock would like to suggest Johnny Hayes.
Not there.
Greg's Gardens would like to go for Tom Rogic.
No.
Okay, what about Paul Hanlon?
No.
Right, you've got about 10 minutes left, so get your thinking caps on. Send us some tweets at Clyde SSB. It's a very, very difficult question. Some of you getting to grips with it, I have to say. But pretty tough out there. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale struggling.
No, I've got one.
Have you?
Yeah.
You've got one, there are six.
I know, but we've got five here, Hugh. So I
think that one there.
I'll give you.
Okay.
I think this is a guy's.
You know, people are listening to you on the radio at this point. It doesn't really work, you know, when you two are just talking amongst yourselves.
Well, we have to converse somehow or find a way.
And obviously we're not live streaming on a Saturday. Did you hear about last night? If you've not seen it, go and check out our Instagram, my Instagram, Super Scoreboards, Clyde Ones, whatever, and you will see it. Scott Allen has done what I must admit I thought someone would have done it already, but Scott Allen smashed the TV in the fancy new studio, Hugh Keevans. Yeah. It is a tight squeeze behind that desk. He obviously was just lost without you on a Friday night. He rolled the chair back. It got stuck against the TV. Right at the start of the show. I mean, 30 seconds in, so I'm trying to do my intro, and then just out the corner of my eye, I can just see a big black line appearing down the TV. And it's gone. It's absolutely gobbed.
The thing is, Scott's an albatross. You know, he's already done his wrist this season, and then he injured his eye, and now he's got three. Bad trouble comes in threes, and now he's broken the telly.
Oh, big miss for Celtic this time. Coon's ball across the face. It looks like Ida had kind of open goal, but it sort of hit off him, went in the wrong direction. Now a VAR check for a potential handball for Celtic. A fairly quick one though. No penalty there. Decision on you go.
Well, just get Ida off and get Key will go on.
So Scotty having to put his hand in his pocket, is he?
Bring the TV, you're going to pay for it.
Or just bring one in for home.
Well, the wages aren't great in here, so you'll need to do about 10 shows, I think. 40 shows?
I was going to say more than 10.
For free to make up for the TV. Got another one of these for you. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Gorgie Bussies, Hugh Keevans.
Oh.
Gorgie Bussies, Lawrence Shankland again. Imagine it, Lawrence Shankland on a hat-trick inside half an hour after being criticised for his lack of goals. Hearts 2, Dundee 0 after 31 minutes, and it is Lawrence Shankland.
Red letter day for a man in maroon. So
it's incredible that for strikers, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really incredible. You'd imagine now he'll go on a run. He'll probably score in the next 3-4 games. Just to get that sort of a first... Well, I know he scored one goal up until then, but to get the first goal today, then the confidence is oozing out you. You're looking for every opportunity. I wouldn't put it by him to get the hat-trick.
He's 3 goals off being the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership, by the way. Just for what it's worth, because the leader only has 6. That's Shankland up to 3. So I don't know what that says about the overall.
And is he leader
tally.
McGregor?
Yeah, now level with Dessers and Chairman.
Here's one. How many has Kyogo scored this year
in the league?
Yeah,
I think he's got about 4.
Because he
held
this stick that Shankland
five,
has
not
got
five. He's got five.
Okay.
You took Dessers to be top scorer in the league. People were laughing at you. He's still joint top.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what,
not even starting games
anymore. He's got that little kick now that he's looking at Danilo Anigamani, and he's thinking, right, I need to, when I go on the pitch, I need to put the ball in the back of the net. He's concentrating a lot more. So
the list is outrageous. Cherney, Dessers, McGregor on six, and then a whole host: Clark, Dolby, Kyogo, Papagay, Ronan Hale, Adamida, Kimpioka, Kuhn, McCowan, Olasanya, all on five.
No outstanding goal scorers just now, isn't there? No.
Nearly 2-0 to St Johnston.
Ooh.
A dinked effort hits off the crossbar. Andy Halliday's getting kicked all over the place. Fouled by Taylor.
Midweek? Because he got hooked at half time, did he not?
No.
Last weekend.
I don't know if I'm allowed to give away his medical history, but there was an
injury.
Was it an injury?
I don't know. To be fair, he might still have been hooked.
She's hair falling.
He then had to go for some sort of treatment on the Monday.
Okay.
Hence why
I let him off with that.
The turkey.
Oh, right, okay.
I think he was going for some sort of injection. Were you not telling me you were going to go for an injection in the new year?
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
Someone at the Cash for Kids lunch made you a medical offer you couldn't refuse yesterday.
It certainly did. I had a discussion with my surgeon. Yes, I certainly am.
Oh,
going.
Wow. Keep us posted on how that goes.
That's going to
hurt. Don't you worry.
Clyde 1,
Peter, coming.
Clyde 1, Peterhead 0. Robbie Leach with the goal there for the Bully Wee. You can get some more answers coming in that teaser as well. It's a very popular question here. You've got them thinking. Yeah. You have really, really got them thinking.
Yeah, I find that difficult.
Let's do the last set of wrong answers and we'll round it off in about 5 minutes. So go question.
Since the 2014-2015 tournament, six players have scored in the semi-final and the final of the same Scottish League Cup. Name them.
Paddy would like to throw in Scott Sinclair.
Not there.
You would think so, wouldn't you? But and Duncan would like to throw in Scott Arfield.
No.
Okay. You're getting closer. I can sense it. Lots of you. I can see some full
answers.
Answer sheets there as well. You two, how many do you think you've got?
I think we've got the full house, have we not?
I don't think he played for that team. The guy that you've guessed.
Show me your paper. I'm interested in this.
I thought he played with that team. Is he one?
This is where you know that he's absolutely at it, because the name's right but the team's wrong.
I thought that.
Honestly,
I thought you played.
You are so transparent. That means somebody's texted you the name and you've gone, oh, I'll write the team down as well and pretend I know. So you apparently have heard of that guy, but you can't remember what team he played for.
Can't.
Absolute nonsense. So transparent.
Well, you picked the wrong one. It's the same neck of the woods.
Oh, I do know who it is. Sorry.
The Highlands.
Yeah,
I'll give you
county.
A Highland clue.
Ross County.
That's a good shout. Well done, mate.
That's what I'm going to write down. I was wrong side of the bridge.
No, sure, you remember bridge, those goals well.
Stirling, one was a great header.
Stirling Albion 0, Edinburgh City 1. Connor Young, it's still Celtic who lead by that goal to nil. Not had it their own way, Hugh, but you just can't sweep everybody aside all the time,
no,
I suppose.
No, and you have to credit him, second bottom of the league, going to Celtic Park and playing in the manner in which they are doing. But as I say, Brendan Rodgers cannot be dismissive of the persistent defensive errors that are putting Hibs in.
Such a high line Celtic are playing. By the way, Hibs are, you have to promote bodies forward to get in behind them, and they've certainly done that. Even when Campbell came on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if Kukurevic going off damages that, or can they still keep it up without him?
They've been in another few times, but it never helps, does it, when plan A goes out the window so quickly? However, plan A wasn't working because he'd missed a couple of chances anyway. But David Gray, I think, will be frustrated because his team's done not too badly, defended poorly for a little section, and have been punished quite harshly. So again, story of Hibs' season, unfortunately for him so far.
But the story's not over, because if Celtic are playing that high line and are giving Hibs as many chances as they have done, then at some point Hibs get a goal.
Yeah, but the argument there, Hugh, is can Hibs keep Celtic out?
Yeah.
Did you know that? You know that the quality of the players that have got, they're not going to play like that and give up chances for 90 minutes. You know, they're going to up the they've got to step the gears up a little bit, up the gears, and see if they can get the second goal, and the second goal will kill the game.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do. Ross County hardly had any chance. In fact, did they any chances whatsoever last week? I don't think they did.
Don't recall any.
So Hibs have done their bit up to a point.
Is it the case that when Carter Vickers is not there, there is
a... Nah, it's a hard one, because you go to Atalanta with the two centre backs in the back four and get a clean sheet, and they were great that night. So, but they've gave up a lot of chances today. It's just one of those days. They've been a bit slack. I think Brendan Rodgers will have a few harsh words at half time. But I know what you're saying about Carter Vickers. He is a massive player for them, but I don't think you can use that.
His stop midweek at Pittodrie, you know, that's an equaliser all day long. But he gets there at the very last second, and by doing so, wins Celtic 3 points. Yeah.
Kelty 0, Alloa 1. Scott Allen breaking TVs on Friday nights and then seeing his team trail on a Saturday. What a bad weekend he's having. Montrose 2, Inverness 0.
Is Scott still play, or is he just
he's been injured with his broken wrist.
Yeah, but is he going to come back and just play, or is he going to concentrate?
So, yeah.
Once he's paid for the telly.
Yeah. Need to get some win bonuses.
Yeah, goal bonus maybe today in that one, but it is Alloa that lead Luke Donnelly with the goal. Scored some good goals this season, Luke Donnelly. And he's added to that today, 5 minutes before the break.
That league's fascinating, eh?
Oh, mad. Absolutely mad.
24 points, 22, 22, 22, all the way down to mid-table.
All
everybody's
the way
still in the mix.
To two teams who've been deducted points because of administration. Yeah, it's a really interesting division, as always. McGarry's driven cross at Pittodrie, no takers there. The Aberdeen fans will be urging their team on, try and get something back before the break. St Johnston lead. Leighton Clarkson's free kick into the box. There's Nielsen, who couldn't get the final touch as well.
Well, we're needing a couple of goals. Our Sun reporters are not giving us the excitement we're looking for.
I don't even know if Roger Hanna's still there. No. I've heard very little from Tannadice.
Well, Dundee United started well, didn't they? But
maybe he's out of breath getting up these stairs. Maybe he's half, maybe he's stuck halfway up. Try seen through the hole.
It was interesting, Gordon, you brought up the point about Derek McInnes's voice. I listened to it and I thought, has he got a cold? He was absolutely beside himself.
And to be fair, look, he actually was apologetic, which he doesn't have to be. It really is up to him. He took ages to come in after the game, you know. And you know that way you can just tell when a manager either reading the riot act or really trying to go over what went wrong. He took an age, and then when he came in, his voice was gone. So yeah, I think there's a high chance that he had a bit of ranting to do after the game, which is understandable.
Because Derek gets mentioned in association with the Rangers job so often. Every time Philippe Clement gets a bad result, Derek McInnes' name gets mentioned. But to lose 6-0 at Ibrox, they won't be getting mentioned much now.
Let's round off the teaser, Hugh. I've given enough time. The standard has been good. We've had a bit of fun, so let's finish.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Since the 2014-2015 tournament, six players have scored in the semi-final and the final of the same Scottish League Cup. They are James Tavernier in 2023, Sean Rooney in 2021, Ryan Christie in 2018, Moussa Dembele in 2017 and 2016, Alex Schalk in 2016 and Chris Commons in 2015.
Good list, that very good list. I love that question. You can always tell by the number of wrong answers. You all gave it a good go, some better than others. Interesting VAR check. Arne Engels booked for a foul, but potentially a red. VAR's going to go and have a look. Alex Gogic booked, taking down Andy Halliday. Everybody's getting booked for chopping poor Andy down. What's happening here? Let's give you the podium quickly. In third place, Stephen Lauder. Well done to you, Stephen. Second place was Annie's Land, and the winner is Charlie Bear on the first half teaser. We'll do a Who Am I after the break. Arne Engels will stay on. Referee not called to the monitor, not considered a clear and obvious error. And on we go. Lennon Miller with a free kick for Motherwell, maybe 20 yards out after Andy Halliday being chopped down by your pal as well, Alex Gogic.
Yeah,
you see him at the school gates this week?
I seen him the other day, yeah, chatting away. Very excited about the game today, looking forward to it.
Honestly,
what was he working on this week?
Set plays. set plays.
He's always working on set plays.
Giving them to the opposition by
fouling. No. They were working set plays. They feel like they can cause Motherwell problems from set plays.
Andy Halliday, stay in your lane, for goodness sake. He hits the free kick and it goes wide. Just give it to Lennon Miller.
Andy's got a sweet left foot.
I can see
Andy maybe popping one of them in.
Well, he popped it into the stand.
Yeah,
the
maybe. I'm not saying today. Maybe around about February, March, when everybody else is tired.
Clyde 2, Peterhead 1, Andrew McCarthy's pulled one back.
What an odd day it is at Celtic Park. You know, Arne Engel scores, but he's now got a yellow card and it was checked for a possible red card. Celtic goal difference is in a different postcode from everyone else, but defensively lax. Very odd first half. Interesting to see how Brendan Rodgers deals with
this. I still feel a wee bit disappointed here.
Yeah.
They've created a lot of good chances, caused Celtic problems. So it'll be interesting to see if they come out in the second half and step up a little bit.
Is that the bit, Mark, that it's hard to get into your head once the bar gets set so high, though, that you are not going to win every single game 5-0? You're not going to win every single game without the goalkeeper having a save to make. There's also a big question mark about whether you can even win every single game or go undefeated. That in itself is hard to do. Never mind that within those 90 minutes, teams don't even get a chance.
Yeah, that is the reality of football. You're going to concede chances. Teams are going to come at you. The level of opposition is going to vary. And I think Hibs in the first half have been very good, because you look at the Hibs players individually, they're good players. We keep saying this. So you're going to come up against teams that will give you a threat. It's how you ride that out or what you do at the top end of the pitch. And Celtic have done the crucial bit. You know, if this is still 0-0, then it's a whole different discussion. But they've managed to get their noses in front without being brilliant.
2 minutes added in Paisley, so the boards will be starting to go up around the grounds. Half time in that Scott Allen television wrecker game, Kelty Hearts 0, Alloa 1. 1 minute added there at Pittodrie as well. Remember, Aberdeen trail St Johnston by a goal to nil, which I'm not sure many people would have seen coming. Celtic had a corner that didn't really come to much. 5 added at Celtic Park. 2 injuries to Mikola Kukarevic. A VAR check on Arne Engels. Another quick VAR check, I think, for a Celtic penalty. Doesn't look like your employers are serving up a feast of entertainment, Mark. Partick Thistle 0, Ayr United 0.
Yeah.
You must be torn though, because you work for Partick Thistle, but you've got Scott Brown posters on your bedroom wall. So.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me today.
Who do you want to win then?
Thistle!
Do you?
Aye, I took the Brownie posters down. As soon as he signed for Aberdeen, I took them down.
I can remember that day when you seen him at the golf. I've never been so embarrassed for an adult in all my life.
How many years ago was that?
My goodness, it's in my memory bank. I will never forget it. I was embarrassed
what
for
else
you.
Is
that
in
day.
That memory bank?
Autograph, selfie.
Oh, it
cuddles.
Was embarrassing, honestly.
Aye, old Bruni,
remember me.
Aye, I'll ring the bunker for you, Bruni. It's ridiculous.
Half time, Tannadice, Roger Hannah.
Half time is Dundee United 0, Kilmarnock 0, and Derek McInnes is halfway towards his stated aim of a clean sheet after that 6-goal drubbing at Ibrox in midweek. It could have all gone wrong inside 14 seconds. Sam Dalby, the Premiership player of the month, on his 25th birthday, heading wide after good play down the left by Louis Mould and Will Ferry. And then 3 minutes, Dalby went even closer. He hit the post after a long throw in from Ferry, caused panic in the Kilmarnock defence. Killie did rally. Fraser Murray made a good break down the left, and Bruce Anderson's effort from a tight angle easily held at near post by Jack Walton. Robbie Dees next to threaten for Kelly when he lashed off target after yet another long throw was held up in a swirling wind inside Tannadice. Kilmarnock threatened again in 17 minutes. Murray's shot from the edge of the box well held above his head by the United goalkeeper Walton. At the other end, Robbie McCrory made a smart save down low to his left to deny Emmanuel Adeboyega, and then McCrory an even better stop, this time tipping over a powerful drive from Ferry from the edge of the box. United desperate for more chances in front of goal for Dalby and the recalled Mould. Kelly just desperate to stop the goals going in. At half time at Tannadice, United 0, Kilmarnock 0.
Nothing doing there then. We do have some goals around the Premiership, which you will hear about very soon. In fact, it is half time in Paisley. David Friel, none there either.
Yeah, Gordon, half time, St Mirren nil, Motherwell nil, nothing doing, all square, the players will need a break. They all put so much into that half. I think they should get 10 out of 10 for effort, but we just haven't really had that bit of quality yet. St Mirren, most of the pressure, but this has been a game of very few clear-cut chances. I said the home side have a couple of efforts in target. Motherwell haven't really properly tested Ellery Balkan, but we'll feel there's maybe something to come in the second half. St Mirren came out with a lot of purpose. They tried to pin Motherwell back. McMenamin and Greg Kilty, they were very lively. Kilty's turning volley was probably St Mirren's best chance in the early stages. Motherwell forwards, they're feeding off scraps at that point. Balcombe did punch clear under pressure from Andy Halliday. Gio Tavares then hit the bar, but the whistle had already gone. St Mirren probably carried more of a threat. McMenamin, their best chance around the half hour mark. He broke into the box and hit the upright with a really powerful drive, although I thought Aston Oxborough did get a touch on it. He also saved from Alex Gogic, big defender heading straight at him. He was then booked for taking down Andy Halliday on the edge of the box. Andy's been really good, but getting a bit of rough treatment from the players. He also pulled rank over Lennon Millett and took the free kick from 20 yards, but it whistled wide of the post. I'd say Motherwell probably finished the half better, but this game is well in the balance. Half time, St Mirren 0, Motherwell 0.
What about Pittodrie, Dave Galloway?
Half time, Aberdeen 0, St Johnstone 1, and a chorus of boos greeted the half time whistle. Aberdeen from the start were dominating possession without creating much at all. They lacked any real creativity. St Johnstone defending well and trying to hit on the counter. Saints took the lead after 25 minutes. Matt Smith whipped in a cross which James McGarry made a bit of a hash of dealing with, and Mackenzie Kirk got onto the loose ball, said thank you very much, and rammed it into the net. And they nearly doubled their advantage when Lewis Nielsen's dinked effort hit the bar. The shell-shocked hosts tried to hit back. James McGarry's driven cross across the goal mouth, finding no takers. And Sievert Heltner Nielsen couldn't quite get the final touch on Leighton Clarkson's very inviting free kick into the danger zone. But the away team's defence in this first half has looked very comfortable, and their keeper Josh Ray has had very little to do. Jimmy Tilleen has got some job on his hands to lift his side at the interval following a very poor first 45 minutes. Aberdeen 0, St Johnstone 1.
Celtic passed up a good chance whilst we were listening to that. Well, it was actually a good save. Let's give some credit. Jordan Smith, Adam Ida on the spin. He caught it well, and it was at close range, but saved by the boot of Jordan Smith. So Celtic, as much as they've conceded chances, they very much could be in 2-0 up at the break. But nothing else to bring you as this half draws to a close. We'll get the report from Tynecastle as well, where it's been a big half for Lawrence Shankland. But I think we will just hold fire, because Celtic Park must be seconds away. And there it is. Look at that. How's that for timing, Andrew McLean?
Celtic 1, Hibs 0, the half-time score. Not often you say it. Celtic probably lucky to be ahead in this one, because Hibs have created so many good chances but just so wasteful, which will leave David Gray really frustrated. Barely a minute on the clock where Mikola Kukurevic, he was sent through one-on-one, ran the length of the half basically, plenty of time to think about it, maybe just too much time, and his shot was saved by the foot of Kasper Schmeichel. Really should have put that one away. The keeper then had to make another couple of stops not long after that. Nicky Cadden and Eli Yuan with shots from the edge of the box. They were really on top for the opening 5 minutes. Not clinical enough, but Celtic were, because they had their first chance 6 minutes in. Nicholas Kuhn finding Alistair Johnson on the overlap. His ball across the 6-yard box, and there was Arne Engels to provide the finish. Celtic could have made it two not long after. Luke McCowan with a strike from Dyson Maeda's cutback. That one came off the top of the bar, but then more Hibs pressure. Joe Newell skying one over the bar before Kuharevic had another big chance put through on goal. Again, a heavy touch this time at the wrong point, and that ruined his chances of getting a really decent shot away. Kasper Schmeichel saving, really should have done better. Again at the other end, Adam Ida couldn't get the right contact on Nicholas Kuhn's ball across the box, and just before the break it broke really kindly to Ida in the box. Good strike on the spin from close range, but what a save by the leg of Jordan Smith to keep it at 1-0. An interesting half so far, where Hibs have been made to pay for not taking those big chances after exploiting quite a bit of space in behind that Celtic defence. The half-time score here at Celtic Park, Celtic 1, Hibs 0.
And we'll do the half-time story from Tynecastle after these.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Half time in the Scottish Premiership and beyond. In the top flight, it's Aberdeen 0, St Johnstone 1. It's Celtic 1, Hibs 0, Dundee United 0, Kilmarnock 0, Hearts 2, Dundee 0, and St Mirren 0, Motherwell 0. In the Championship, Dunfermline 0, The Accies 0, Falkirk 1, Raith Rovers 0, Morton 0, Livingston 0, Partick Thistle 0, Ayr United 0, and Queen's Park 2, Airdrie 0. Into League 1, Annan 0, Cove Rangers 1, Kelty Hearts 0, Alloa Athletic 1, Montrose 2, Inverness Cally Thistle 0, Stenhouse Muir 2, Dumbarton 0. In League 2, Clyde 2, Peterhead 1, East Fife 1, Elgin 1, and Stirling Albion 0, Edinburgh City 2. We will do some English Premier League if you're that way inclined at the break. It's Aston Villa 1, Southampton 0, Brentford 2, Newcastle 2, Crystal Palace 1, Man City 1. We'll get back for the second halves next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.